Scripture is great whenever we have the opportunity to worship the Lord together. Thanks so much to our worship team. You continue to bless us, and we're grateful for that. I want to let you know right now how much we appreciate you joining us today. And if you have yet to get connected, we want to give you the opportunity to do so. We have groups of people that are meeting online during this season, and it's really easy to jump in. Just head over to hnw.org/online to either start a group or to join in with one of our online groups. We don't want anyone to be isolated during this season. Also, we want to continue to thank you for your generosity, and we want to let anybody who's watching know that if you find yourself in need during this season, as a church, we want to come beside you. We know a lot of folks have lost their jobs or have seen their income radically decreased during this time, and so we've started a financial assistance fund. So you can apply for financial assistance by heading over to hnw.org/online. We also are holding a food drive every Tuesday and Thursday in conjunction with the Houston Area Food Bank. And so we made our first deliveries this past week, and we're so thankful to those of you who have been generous as we've worked to support those in our community who are needing our help at this time. Now, we're also going to be hosting a blood drive this Tuesday, May 5th. There's been lots of the slots already filled up, but we would love it if you would go ahead and sign up so we can support our medical community in this as well. So just a reminder, it's going to take all of us giving to get through this. So right now, if you are able to give, your gifts make a huge difference during this. Thank you so much for those of you who are giving. And if you have yet to give, this would be a great time to join in giving at Houston Northwest Church. So we appreciate your generosity as we seek to serve our community and also as we seek to move the kingdom forward and proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus here in Northwest Houston. By the time that you are watching this, hopefully you have received an email from the church that is outlining our plan to return back to in-person ministry. Now, as you've looked over that plan, you'll notice that it's pretty slow and pretty conservative. I know that a lot of folks would like us to move a little more quickly, but what we know right now is that the situation surrounding the novel coronavirus and COVID-19 is rapidly shifting, and new information comes available almost every single day. So we're not in a rush to be first to get back. We want to make certain that we're taking care of all of our logistics, and we also want to make sure that we're doing so in a way to take care of each of our family members. The way that a church works, we see ourselves as a family, and our family has some unique needs, and so we want to make certain that we are ministering to the people in our family. We can only go as fast as the slowest member of our family can travel. And so we're going to make certain that we have all of our family members with us as we move forward. So if you have yet to receive that plan, reach out to us. We'd love to give it to you. But we want you to know we are working towards returning, but we're going to do so in a way that may seem a bit laborious to some and maybe seem a little bit over-conservative to others. But we also want you to know this. We're doing so because we want to protect and love the most vulnerable among our church population. So we're grateful to have the opportunity to come together. What I want to do right now is I want to pray for us. We're going to be coming today and continuing on in our Cabin Fever series out of the Gospel of John. So if you have a Bible with you, I want to encourage you to open that up at this time and head with me over to John chapter 14. As you're headed over to John 14, I'm going to pray for us and then we'll jump in. You know, John is one of Jesus's disciples, one of Jesus's followers. And so I would just want us to have an opportunity to read the words that John wrote down as he was watching Jesus teach. So I'll pray for us and then we'll jump in. John 14, starting in verse 25. So let me pray for us and we'll go from there. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. And God, we thank you that you continue to provide for our church, for our community. Lord, we know that oftentimes prayers are answered because we are obedient. And so, Lord, I pray that those of us who can be obedient to your call to be generous would do so, so that we can answer the prayers of those in need. Father, I also pray that right now as we go through your word, that we would hear from you. And God, that you would speak clearly to us. We love you, God. We thank you for your goodness. We pray that you would choose to rescue some people today. And God, that you would do so in a way that would be clear and powerful. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay, church. John chapter 14, starting in verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This is the word of the Lord. You know, one of the stories I learned as a kid going to church was the story of Jesus calming the storm. Maybe you're familiar with the story, and maybe you're not, but there's a story in the New Testament where Jesus and the disciples are going across a lake, and a storm whips up quickly, causing the disciples to panic. And when they go to find Jesus, they discover that he's asleep in the stern of the boat. Now, how in the world could Jesus be asleep while a storm is raging in such a fashion that it made experienced fishermen scared to death? I want that sort of quality, to be able to be completely and totally relaxed whenever life around me is whipping into a frenzy. As we've been going through our Cabin Fever series, we've been looking at the different qualities that the Spirit brings us so that we can live the Christian life even when we're in isolation. I think the picture of Jesus being asleep in the back of the boat is the picture of peace. And that's what we're going to talk about today, how we can have the peace that comes from God. You know, in our culture right now, folks are always looking for ways to cultivate peace. We've got breathing exercises, essential oils, candles, yoga, meditation, all kinds of different practices that people are using to try and cultivate peace. And while those things may certainly bring down our blood pressure, those are no substitute for what true biblical peace is. And so today I want us to look at this passage and I want us to understand what true peace is. So let's start today with the words of Jesus in John 14 in verse 26, and let's talk about what peace is. The first thing I want us to see, peace is given. Peace is given. We read in verse 26 that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will be sent. And then in verse 27, we see that Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you." Both of those acts, the giving of the Holy Spirit and then the fact that Jesus says that peace will be left by him, remind us that peace is not something we can achieve on our own. Peace is something that is given, that is left, that is intentionally presented. I don't know if you guys already know this, but I love live music. I love concerts. And over the years, I've gone to more concerts than I could ever count. This past summer, one of my friends, Jason, and I were traveling to a concert. And while we were there, it was an outdoor kind of a festival venue, and it was pretty hot. And we saw a band playing under a tent. There were a couple of seats available. We went and we sat down. And essentially, the folks who had been sitting there came back, and even though the seats were empty, they asked us to get up, and they didn't really do so in the nicest fashion, but, you know, we decided that we would go ahead and just give them back their seats. One of the security guards who was very near the front of the venue kind of saw this entire exchange, and for whatever reason, he just took pity on us, and he kind of pointed to us, ushered us over, and then pulled back the security barricade and let us come in and watch the rest of that band's set play from right next to the stage. We weren't sitting down out in the audience anymore. We were essentially, from a security standpoint, quote unquote, backstage. It was pretty surreal. Now, that never would have happened if we would have gone straight up to the security guard and asked to come back there, but because he had authority, he had access, he decided to give that access to us. That's the way that the Bible speaks about peace. Many of us are on a quest for peace, and so we're trying to figure out how it is that we can get peace, and we're looking for ways to earn it or to achieve it. But the scripture is clear that peace is not something that we can earn or achieve, but instead, peace is something that is given by God. So what then is peace? If we're always trying to manufacture it, what is this thing that we want? I think the best way to define the peace for which many of us are looking is this: a calm heart in the midst of tempestuous times. A calm heart in the midst of tempestuous times. So we can't create our own calm, our own calm heart. We go looking for achievements, or perhaps we try different therapies to calm our hearts, but ultimately we can't have the sort of heart that will allow us to be calm while the storms of life are raging around us unless we have a supernatural sort of peace. We need the sort of peace that can only be given by God, the sort of peace that can only be given by the Spirit. And that, at the end of the day, is what the Scripture says, that peace is only given through the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when I choose to place my faith in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit comes into me, and one of the natural outpourings, the natural fruit of the Spirit, is a heart that breeds calm. Now, that leads me then to the second point. Because many of us would say, well, Steve, I thought I'd place my faith in Jesus, but I'm not experiencing that supernaturally calm heart in the midst of tempestuous times. So let's talk about that for just a moment. If peace is given instead of found or instead of achieved, the next thing that we see in this passage is that peace is agreement. Peace is agreement. Verse 26 is where I want to focus in on this. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus indicates that once we have the Holy Spirit, we're now able to have a supernatural ability to communicate with God. So I want us to understand that when we can communicate with God, we can now get in agreement with God. That's what peace is. Being in agreement, not with other people, but being in agreement with God. There's kind of an obscure verse that I noted this week as I was studying. It's in the book of Job, chapter 22. It's in verse 21. It's given by one of Job's friends, so we can talk about whether or not we want to read and take for face value the rest of Job's friend's advice. But this particular verse, Job 22, verse 21, says this: agree with God and be at peace. I like that. I think that that is the heart of peace, that whenever we choose to agree with God, we can have peace. And if we go back to that picture that we were talking about of Jesus asleep in the boat as the storm is going all around, how do we get that sort of a mind? How do I get the mind of Jesus? How do I get the mind of Christ? Well, believe it or not, the Bible actually tells us. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, starting in verse 11, listen to what we read. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So what Paul is saying is that you can only understand, you only know someone's thoughts if you know their spirit. He then goes on in verse 11. So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. In other words, the only person who knows the thoughts of God is the Spirit of God. Okay, got that? Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we, the church, might understand the things freely given us by God. Now, church, I don't want you to run past this because these words are magnificent and powerful. We have the ability to have the thoughts of God. I know, that seems crazy. I'm not saying that we know everything that God knows, but I am saying that Paul says we have access to the mind of God because we have the Spirit of God in us. In fact, he says so at the conclusion of this passage in verse 16. We, he writes, have the mind of Christ. So peace is being in agreement with God, and we get that agreement because we have access to the mind of Christ through the Spirit who has been given us by Jesus. So Jesus takes up residence in us through the Holy Spirit. We know what God wants. We know what God desires. We will experience peace when we choose to submit and agree with the very things of God. That's where it gets tough. A couple of reasons that it's tough. Number one, sometimes because it's difficult to hear the Spirit. The Bible tells us pretty clearly through the story of Elijah that the Holy Spirit speaks in a whisper. Sometimes whenever my kids were really, really young, late at night, Joy and I would put the kids to bed and we would sit by one another on the couch and we would talk really quiet because we didn't want to wake them up. And sometimes we would even have our heads almost touching, leaning together, just talking very low, almost whispering. And it was amazing how in those moments, when we were very quiet and very still, we could really connect and really hear one another. I remember whenever I was a kid, having those experiences growing up out in the country, laying outside on a flatbed trailer under the stars, talking to my buddies late into the night. And we would just be with our heads almost touching, you know, in the way that kids will do. Even though as adults, we're more concerned about our personal space. Kids don't really know anything about that. And we would just lay there so close together and talk late into the night. And you would really get to know someone when you're totally still and the tones are very hushed and there's this whisper. That's the way that the Spirit of God talks. We have to slow down. We have to be quiet. And we have to listen. This is actually one of the gifts of the pandemic, is that many of us right now have the opportunity to carve out a space to have our head close to the mouth of God, to the scriptures, and to let him speak to us clearly in low, hushed tones so that we can hear from him, so that we can know what his heart is. You see, you can have peace when you know the thoughts of God, and you know the thoughts of God when you hear from the Spirit of God, but you can't hear the Spirit of God unless you're willing to hear a whisper. You can't hear a whisper when you're running. You can't hear a whisper when you're screaming. You can only hear a whisper when you get still and you listen. So what I want us to think about is that we can be in agreement with God, but sometimes miss his voice. And as we miss out on hearing his voice, we experience the frenetic pace of the world. If you want to experience the sort of peace that the scripture describes, you're going to have to come to a point when you are willing to carve out spaces intentionally so that you can be placing your heart close to the heart of God and hear from him to get that tender moment. Because I know that whenever my kids were little and Joy and I would sit on the couch, my heart was drawn close to hers whenever we were sharing those very quiet moments. I became better friends as a kid with my buddies as they were starting to share their thoughts late into the night because we were quiet together. Whenever people are quiet and they share and others listen, that's when our hearts are changed. I think that many of us struggle also with the peace of God, not just because we can't hear the voice of God, but also because we don't like what we've been given. We don't like what we've been given. Many of us don't have peace because we are angry about the hand that God has dealt us. We look at our lives and we consider the life that has been given to us to be a life that is not what we deserve. This week, one of my favorite writers, Lori Ferguson Wilbert, put a quote on her Instagram account and I loved it. And I just had to share it with you this week because I think it gets right to the heart of peace. This is what Lori said. I will cultivate what God has given me instead of what I want. I will cultivate what God has given me instead of what I want. See, oftentimes we're angry, and because we're angry, we don't experience peace because we keep thinking God should give me a different family, a different job, a different spouse, should give me a spouse, should give me more money, should give me a better place to live, should give me whatever. And because we're angry about what we don't have, we aren't experiencing the very beautiful gifts that God has given us. So that's what agreement with God looks like. So first, peace is given, and then peace is agreement with God. But then let's wrap up here and look at what John says at the conclusion of that passage in verse 27. So we see in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. I want to focus on that sentence right there. Not as the world gives do I give to you. The truth of the matter is that finally, not only is peace given, not only is peace agreement, but peace is not worldly. Peace is not worldly. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, we read, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And listen to this verse, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So the peace which surpasses understanding. The peace that's described in the Bible is a supernatural peace. It's not a peace that you can get from this world or in this world. It's only a peace that is available through God's Spirit. That's the only way that you can have peace. If God gives it and it comes through His peace, you cannot get it in the world. Many of us have not experienced supernatural peace because we have mistaken the peace of the world for the peace of God. Let me explain the difference. The peace of the world is a peace that is given when people agree with us, right? So we like to have echo chambers. We like where our opinions are always given back to us. We like to have yes men and women who will tell us exactly what we want to hear. But that is not what the peace of God is. In fact, think about this. In the church right now, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of opinions. How do I know that? Well, we sent out this survey this past week about our plan in returning back to the church from COVID. Guys, this is what I know. Our church is filled with opinions. In fact, not just our church. Our staff is filled with opinions. Our elder council is filled with opinions. There are all sorts of different ideas on how we ought to come back, the pace at which we ought to come back, the protocols that we ought to follow or not follow when we come back. There are a dozen or more opinions at least. This is the point. In the normal secular world, we would say, then there can't be peace because we're all disagreeing about those things. But supernatural peace says that even though we don't agree on those things, we can still have peace in our church because we have grounding in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We agree on the things that matter. We agree in the heart of God. We agree in the thoughts of God. So even though we may have different opinions about sports, politics, economics, COVID-19, we can still experience deep and abiding unity and peace as a church because we're unified in the peace of God. This is different than worldly peace. The world tells you if people don't agree with your ideas, then those individuals are to be cast aside. Or the world tells you that the only way that you'll experience peace is through some sort of achievement or through hitting some sort of marker that you have yet to hit. This is not the peace that God wants us to go after. God wants us to have His peace, the peace that is unique. So how do we achieve that? We achieve that by getting one with the heart of God, the thoughts of God, by being in agreement with them, by then rejecting the world's peace. So if you noticed, both in the John passage and then in the 1 Corinthians passage, 1 Corinthians that we read earlier, in both places, we read that the world gives differently than God. The world may want to draw us to fame. The world may want to draw us to power or to money. But what the gospel draws us toward is self-sacrifice. In other words, I'm willing to listen to the heart of God, and even though that might rub against my personal preferences, I will sacrifice so that I can bring unity to the family of God with my brothers and sisters. I will experience self-sacrifice so that I can bring resurrection and healing to the world, to my community, to my city. This is the difference between the gospel and between any other worldly message. This week, I saw a great quote by Sharon Hottie Miller, and this is what she wrote. "The thing which we pay most attention to is the thing which disciples us." Many of us are not experiencing supernatural peace because we are giving our attention to the wrong disciple makers. Let's let the voice of God, the heart of God, the Spirit of God be the thing that has the primary voice in our mind, the thing that really speaks to and shapes our hearts. So we need peace. We need a calm heart in the midst of tempestuous times. We need a heart that is fully grounded in the truth of the gospel, a heart that is fully grounded in the knowledge of Jesus. But you cannot have this peace if you have yet to place your faith in who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is God in flesh. He pursued us to demonstrate His love. Jesus Christ is God crucified. We deserve death, but Jesus took our punishment, death, in his body as he died on the cross so many years ago. Jesus Christ resurrected. The world is falling apart, it feels like, but God's plan is resurrection and hope. And one day, not only will our bodies be resurrected if we place our faith in Jesus, but even this entire world. And we work towards his resurrection even now because the Christ has imparted his spirit in us. We have his supernatural peace, which lets us walk into a world of chaos and bring a peaceful presence and bring an attitude of resurrection and hope wherever we may find ourselves. So today, church, I ask you this. Have you placed your faith in Jesus? If you have yet to do so, you can respond right now. If you're watching on our church website at hnw.org/live, you can respond today. Click on the button that says that you're ready to raise your hand and commit your life to Jesus. And once you raise your hand, there will be another button that says connect with us. Click there so that we can send you resources and our team can come beside you and help you grow in your faith. Others of you who are watching on Facebook, click the link that'll come up down in the comments below the video. Let us know that you're watching and let us know that you're ready to take that step. One of our team members will reach out to you and we'll give you the resources that you need. But here's what we know. The world is often crazy and the world is often stressful, but God wants to give us peace through his son, Jesus Christ, and you can experience it today. So turn to him in faith and experience his goodness. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for all that you give. We thank you for who you are. Father, we pray that today for those who need to know your peace, that they will say yes, that they'll raise their hand, that they'll click the link, that they'll say yes to you. And Father, that we as a church will come beside them. We pray this, God, in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
And amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. At HNW, our vision is to make Houston more like heaven by helping Houstonians become more like Jesus. Because of that, we would love to invite you to get connected here at HNW. For more info, go to hnw.org/new here. Again, thank you for listening. Have a great day.